This is John Walden, Colorado Springs. Our study just now is in 2 Chronicles 29, beginning at verse 1. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first month of his reign, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Now here's a young man, begins to reign at 25 years of age, has had the very bad example of his father Ahaz, whom we have already considered together in our study of these Old Testament kings. But he does not feel it necessary to follow wrong examples. He probably had a godly mother. Abijah, his mother, was the daughter of Zechariah. And we read back in chapter 26 and 5 that Zechariah prophesied in the days of Hezekiah's grandfather, and that he was a man who knew the Lord. So very likely, Hezekiah's mother was a godly woman. Now, of course, it doesn't make a man an ungodly man to have an ungodly background or an ungodly father. Neither does it make him a believer, a Christian, because he has a godly mother. And so in the history of this man, we know that something happened that made him one of God's own. And there's a reference to this in Jeremiah chapter 26, verses 18 and 19. Micah the Morasite prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spake to all the people of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high place of the forest. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord, and besought the Lord? And the Lord repented him of the evil that he had pronounced against them. So we know that here is a man who heard some good preaching and believed it. Now you heard preaching, what have you done about it? Have you really trusted Christ? We don't know much about Micah, but we do have his prophecy, and the prophecy of Micah is a most interesting book. In the book of Micah, we have one of the prophecies about the coming of the Lord Jesus, for instance. In the 5th chapter in verse 2, he tells us where the Lord Jesus will be born. And then we see in the prophecy of Micah a strong preaching against sin and a demand for repentance and an urging the people to put their trust in the Savior, because he promised them that God was a God who was willing to forgive and was most gracious. Well, that's the kind of preaching that's needed today. And undoubtedly you heard a great deal of that kind of preaching. You know that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. You know that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you done it? Have you trusted him? Well, that's fine if you have. You're my brother or sister in Christ. But now, we need to continue to listen to the Word of God. We need to continue to hear what he has to say in order that we might do his will, we might please him. So when Hezekiah really knew the Lord, he began to do something about it. He had a responsibility here because the house of the Lord and the worship in the house of the Lord had fallen into disrepute and disuse, and so he began to repair the temple of God and to get the people of God together. And so we read in verse 5 of our chapter, he said to the Levites and the priests, Sanctify now yourselves, and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. You see, his wicked father and some of the rest had used this temple for idol worship or or the courts around it anyway, and had stopped the worship of the Lord, carried on in the way given by Moses. So now he begins to restore. The restoration called for a number of things. First of all, it called for cleansing themselves, getting right with God themselves. Then there was a real house cleaning that took place, beginning at verse 5 of our chapter. There was obedience to the Word of God. There was the resumption of the commanded worship. That is, they began to offer the offerings the way the Lord had said that they should. And each of these offerings, you know, tell us something about the Lord Jesus. The sin offering tells us that he was made sin for us. The trespass offering tells us that he died for the wicked things that we have done, as well as for the wicked nature that we have. The burnt offering tells us of Christ giving himself wholly for the Father. The peace offering tells us that he's made peace and that he is our peace. And they brought in thank offerings. That was a way of expressing their appreciation for what the Lord had done for them. All of these things were done. So we see Hezekiah setting everything in order, as he says in verse 35. And this was accompanied by great joy. This is always the case. When the Lord's people begin to be obedient to the Word of God, they're going to have a great deal more joy than they have. I know that we say this is America, and one of the things guaranteed to us is the right to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible tells us that God has given us a pattern. And if you're a real believer, you ought to try to find out how God intended his work to be carried on. Did he tell you to join that church? Did he tell you to carry on the kind of work that you're doing and in the way that you're doing it? Did he tell you to finance the work of the Lord as you are doing? Or what did he tell you? Wouldn't it be worth our while to go back to the book, as Hezekiah did, and find out what Moses had commanded to the people? In our case, we would go back to the letters to the Corinthians, for instance. There you find church order. Are you interested in God's way of meeting? Are you interested in doing things after the godly order? Well, we ought to be. And this is the way true revival comes. Now, revival is for believers. Regeneration is for unbelievers. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, you need to be born again. You need to come to Christ and receive him. If you have trusted him, you need to study his word and obey him in every detail. Now, the failures of this man are recorded faithfully for our learning. One of his greatest failures was in demanding longer life for himself. Let's don't demand anything from God, brother and sister. If God is pleased to take you home, thank him for it. And don't demand that he leave you here 15 years longer. Most of what happened to Hezekiah in those last 15 years was bad. He was lifted up with pride, for one thing. He showed all his treasures to the Babylonians, and they later came and took them all. His son Manasseh was born during that 15 years, and Manasseh was a wicked young man. However, there was some good, because we find in the 25th chapter of Proverbs that Hezekiah had the scribes copy out the Proverbs, and a few more Proverbs of Solomon were added to the original amount. And we do know that he humbled himself, 2 Chronicles 32 and 26, says that he humbled himself and confessed his sin. And so this is possible for us as believers. If we have made a mistake, if we have gotten away from the Lord, we need not despair. We need not say, well, it's all over, I'm done, I'm washed up. We can turn to him in honest confession and be restored. It's never too late to come back to him. On the whole, this man had a good record. In 2 Kings 18:5, he's said to be the best king that Judah ever had. Now, I think we ought to take a minute's time to find out why he was such a good king. Well, in that same passage, 2 Kings 18:4, 5, and 6, he tells us just why this man was such a good king. He tells us that he trusted God. Now, this is the first thing. Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ? Some people use one word and some use another. Use the word trust, use the word believe, the word faith, or use the word come. Whatever word you use, the Lord Jesus used all these words to help us to understand that it means that we are to accept Christ as Savior. And then, of course, this trusting Him is to be a daily thing. We're to continue to trust in Him. Surely, if you can trust Him for your soul salvation, you can trust Him about where you're going to get a job. And you can trust Him about those children of yours that are not saved. I know your heart aches. I have some myself. We can trust Him, can't we? Let's do it. He trusted God. Then, secondly, he clave to the Lord. He stuck to Him. Whatever happened, he said, like Job, even though he slays me, I'll trust him. I'm going to stick to him. I know he's right. I'm going to go ahead just the way I started. And then the third thing is, he kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. Now, we can't keep the commandments to be saved. We're not told to keep the Ten Commandments as a way of life after we're saved. We're on a much higher standard than the Ten Commandments. But we are told to keep His Word. This is the way of godly living. This is the way of a joyous life. Trust Him. Stick to Him. Keep His Word. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank Thee for Thy Son. We thank Thee that salvation is offered to the worst of us. By grace, we thank Thee for daily care. We ask that we may please Thee in all our ways. Take our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.